Lecture 6, Paths to God, Islamic Law and Mysticism.
The rapid expansion of Islam brought the rise of new centers of power and wealth, as we saw last class, an influx of foreign ways and greater social stratification. The contrast between the idealized community of the Prophet and the realities of Umayyad life, dissatisfaction with abuses of power and corruption, gave rise not only to revolutionary groups like the Kharijites, whom we discussed last class, but also to two major non-revolutionary reform movements or institutions, Islamic law and Sufism, or Islamic mysticism. Historically, from the 7th to the 10th centuries, Muslim scholars formulated Islamic law. Many of the earliest scholars were, in fact, pious Muslims who had their jobs, their day jobs, as it were, as merchants and traders, but also were serious students of the Quran and the traditions of the Prophet. It would only be later that they would develop into a separate professional class, the ulama, literally the learned ones, the religious scholars. These early scholars developed the science of law or jurisprudence, fiqh, meaning understanding. Understanding in order to ascertain, interpret, and apply God's guidance, the sharia, as found in the Quran and the sunnah of the Prophet, the example of the Prophet. Based then upon both divinely revealed prescriptions, the Quran, an example of the Prophet, and their own human interpretation, they attempted to delineate a comprehensive blueprint for Muslim life and society, what we often refer to as Islamic law or Sharia. Islamic law then was a response to real religious, political, and social concerns and issues. Piety and politics were intertwined. Those who turned to law during the Umayyad dynasty in the 8th and 9th centuries did so to limit the autonomy and power of rulers by standardizing the law and taking into its control out of the hands of the caliph or his appointed judges. So they both wanted to delineate what it meant to be a good Muslim as well as limit the power of rulers. Centers or schools of thought sprang up in Medina, in Damascus, in Baghdad, in Kufa, and in Basra, across the then existing Muslim world. While many schools were established, four schools came to be the major Sunni law schools, the Hanafi, Maliki, Shafi, and Hanbali law schools. And these have endured to modern times. Based then both upon revelation and human interpretation, which is called ijtihad, a very central concept which we'll talk about a lot during the course, scholars attempted to delineate a comprehensive blueprint for Muslim life and society, what it meant to be a good Muslim. Although there was general agreement on many matters, significant differences also existed, reflecting differences of interpretation, as well as the diverse geographic, social, and cultural context in which the jurists were writing. It made a difference whether you lived in a more conservative or, if you will, a more open society. The development of law flourished in particular during the 10th century under the Abbasid dynasty. Remember that the Abbasids enjoyed great wealth and became patrons of religious leaders of the sciences and the arts. The Abbasid caliphs, having led a rebellion that overthrew the Umayyads, sought to justify their revolution and legitimate their rule in the name of Islam, and so became the patrons of Islam. The study of Islamic sources and the development of Islamic studies in the Quran, the prophetic traditions or hadith, and law excelled in the hands of a new class of scholars. And here we see this class emerge. The ulama take their name from alim, the Arabic singular, which means a learned one. The ulama are the learned ones. They become, as it were, a religious class. Islamic law developed then as the ideal social blueprint for the believer, responding to the question, what should I do if I am to be a Muslim and realize God's will? Well, what does that mean concretely? How should I live my life?